wonderful group gathered tonight to worship God. The singing has been uplifting. The prayer was such a good prayer as we prayed to God about so many different things. Wonderful opportunity to be present to worship God. Good to see the building comfortably filled. And I hope before long on Sunday night we'll have to be putting chairs in the aisle. Just great to be here. Down through the years, I've heard the three words "in a cloud" used several times. Now, recognizing that we come from different parts of the country and different types of culture, some of you may have not heard this used in the same way that I have, but I've heard the word "in a cloud" used to say the same thing as "in a daze" or "being confused." Someone would talk about another and say, "Well, he just acts like he's in a cloud." That he's confused about something or he's frustrated about something. Have you ever experienced that kind of feeling? One of the most frustrating and confusing situations with which I've ever dealt happened just a few weeks ago. It was on a morning when several of you that are in the audience this morning got together with us over the educational building to stuff some letters to send out to all the incoming freshmen and all the returning students from the university. Our elders had written one letter that was to go to the freshmen and another letter that was to go to the returning students. We had asked for some help from someone in the admissions office or somewhere to get us a list of students, and they'd gotten the labels together. Well, number one, I didn't ask enough questions to know exactly what labels we had present. And number two, somebody got the stacks in the wrong place so that we were putting the freshman letters in the returning students' envelopes and vice versa. And the biggest problem I had with that is the only ones present when those letters and envelopes were put on the table was me and the Lord. I couldn't find anybody else to blame. I don't know to this day how it happened, but it happened. And I got all the people together over there, and I was trying to figure out who was doing what, where, when, and I could not come up with any answers. I was confused. I thought of a little story that I'd heard one time where a fellow started into an office, and on the office door the other fellow had the letters B-A-I-K. And he said, "What do those letters stand for?" And he said, "They stand for Boy Am I Confused." And he said, "Well, don't you know that you don't spell confused with a K?" He said, "You don't know how confused I am." Now, I imagine that within the last few weeks, most of us have gone through some times like this. I was over on campus during the time of registration at different times during the days, and it appeared to me that this year things went better than usual, but I still saw some confusion. Who's going to take what, and which class is closed, and how do I work this out? And I saw some expressions on faces that caused me to think that there were some people who were in a cloud. And all of us experience that. Sometimes in our businesses, we experience it. Sometimes in our family relationships, we have an idea of confusion. Sometimes in religion, many people in the world are living in the cloud of confusion today as far as religion is concerned. I want us to think for a few minutes about being in a cloud. I don't know whether you noticed or not in the song that we just sang. In the first verse, it talks about having our anchor ready when the clouds unfold with strife. That's not too far afield from the subject before us. We might go to Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, and then verse 16, and then the 24th chapter, verse 18, and the 25th chapter, verse 1. And find described the time that the children of Israel were at the foot of Mount Sinai, ready to receive the Ten Commandments. Now picture the scene. Here are the children of Israel, maybe three and a half million of them, in what the Bible says is the wilderness. And that means a barren place. And they're at the foot of Mount Sinai, and from Mount Sinai come the thunderings and the lightnings, and these verses that I just mentioned said that it was covered with a thick cloud. And the voice of God was coming out of that cloud, and he called Moses up into that mountain to give Moses that would help them to clear up the confusion. Can't you just imagine how those children of Israel felt having come out of the land of Egypt? We know from other passages that even though they had seen the great miracle at the Red Sea, that almost immediately some of them were ready to go back. "You brought us out here to let us die. Let's go back to Egypt." They were in somewhat of a state of confusion, and I think that thick cloud which covered Mount Sinai, from whence would come the guiding principles, indicates the idea of what's before us. As it's mentioned in the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy 5:22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire of the cloud and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. Here's the idea that the children of Israel were in a wilderness setting, somewhat confusion, and awaiting from this cloud that which would provide them with the leadership that they needed, in a cloud. Over in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 and verse 40, we're told, number one, that God is not the author of confusion, and number two, that he wants things done decently and in order. And doing something in order is just about the opposite of doing something in confusion. Sometimes we're in the cloud of confusion because we don't have our ducks in a row. We don't have things in the order that they ought to be, especially in the order that will be approved by our Heavenly Father. In a cloud, in a daze. Confused, not in order. Now there are two things tonight that I want us to address relative to this subject of being in the cloud of confusion. Number one, what causes confusion? And number two, what can we do about it? That's a simple outline, but I believe we're dealing with some important ideas. In the first place, as we think about what causes confusion, I suggest to you that a failure to have a purpose in life, and to know what that purpose is one of the great causes of confusion. Over in Isaiah, the 41st chapter, verses 28 and 29, he says, "For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion." And when I read that passage in its context, I get the idea that he's describing some people who really did not know what their purpose in life was. They did not have a counselor who could answer when he asked the question. He said they did not have the counselor that could answer a word, and he says, here's a situation of confusion. It's easy for us to be confused, folks, when we don't even know what we want in life, when we do not know what our purpose is in life. You look back at the time of registration at the first of the school year and occasions like that. Wasn't it much easier if you knew where you wanted to go? Now, that did not solve all the problems. But if you knew what you wanted and where you wanted to go and you had some idea about it, did it not help? You know, even at Christmas time or in birthdays, if we don't know what we want, how can we be pleased with what we get? Some of us are never pleased because we don't know what we want. We don't know what our purpose in life is. And so a failure to have the right purpose in life may bring about confusion. The book of Isaiah also points out in Isaiah 24 verses 9 and 10 that anything which takes away the clear thinking process of the mind will contribute to confusion. Here he's talking particularly about drink. He says, "They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down." Here he's tying the idea of confusion being there when something is done that takes away from the clear thinking process of the mind. All of us need to be able to use the brains that we have and the thinking process and to learn to think clearly. If we take into our body wine and drugs and other things, or if we even allow ourselves to be so burdened down with the affairs of life that our thinking process is just not working and we're not thinking clearly, we may be confused. So anything, whether it's something that goes into the body physically or something that affects the thinking process in a mental situation that keeps us from using our ability to think and to reason, both of those are talked about in the Bible as being a part of this thinking process, we may wind up being confused. And then over in Acts, the 19th chapter and verse 28, a state of confusion is described, and he talks about people who had anger and wrath. And because of that anger and wrath, the city had become confused. They were angry at what was going on. Most of us have experienced the problem of anger, some to more degree than others. But don't you remember a time when you were so angry that you could not think straight? In fact, we've said that sometimes. You made me so mad I can't think straight. What do we mean? We mean we're confused. We're not thinking as we should because anger and wrath will cause that. No wonder Paul said in Ephesians 4, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. Let it be short-lived. Get rid of it. It's extremely difficult to think clearly when we're angry. And then later on in another passage in James, the 3rd chapter and verse 16, he says, confusion is brought about by envy and strife. I'd underscore that envy. We talk more about strife and division than we do envy, but envy may be one of our biggest problems. You see, if we're so envious of what somebody else has and what somebody else is doing, and we think about that so much, we can get our thinking process on that to the extent that, again, we don't think clearly. And so whether it is wine or strong drink or drugs or anger or wrath or envy, anything that will cause the mind not to be able to think as clearly as it ought to will bring about confusion. I further submit to you that ignorance brings about confusion. And be sure that you distinguish between ignorance and stupidity. Sometimes, including your speaker, we act with stupidity. But all of us are ignorant. That simply means a lack of information. Some of us may be more ignorant on one subject than others, or as the case may be, but ignorance simply means a lack of information. And it's been my experience and observation down through the years that many times confusion is brought about because we do not have all the factors. We don't know all the facts. Sometimes we jump to conclusions about other people. Before we have all the facts, we're doing it out of ignorance. Remember, ignorance, not stupidity, a lack of information. And we don't think clearly because we don't have all the facts. You cannot solve a mathematical problem until you have all the factors. When you have all those factors, then there's no confusion. I remember back particularly in high school, I spent hours on one mathematical problem trying to work it. I was confused. Never did get the answer till I got all the information that I needed and got it in the proper place, and then there was no more confusion. So ignorance brings about confusion. Misinformation brings about confusion. Oh, how many times do we say, but I thought that's the way it was. Behold, I thought. And gossip and other problems, well, we don't have time to discuss in detail tonight, may contribute to that, but misinformation can bring about confusion. We think we know when we don't know. And it's just human nature for us to like to be able to say, oh, I know about that, I've heard about it. But misinformation can bring about confusion. Look at Mary Magdalene after Jesus had been resurrected. He was talking to her, but she thought it was the governor, or was the gardener, because she was not looking and getting the facts together. She was in a state of confusion, and you can understand why that would have happened on that occasion. The people in Acts 2 were somewhat confused. They did not know what was going on. They thought these men were drunken with wine, and Peter said, they're not, as ye suppose. You see, they were jumping to a conclusion and supposing something because they had misinformation. It's all about confusion. Another thing that contributes to confusion is being torn between two poles. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah asked the people just before he confronted the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. Haven't you experienced that? Here's a pull over here that wants you to go in this direction, and a pull over here that wants you to go in this direction. You need to be two places at one time, and you just can't do it. You like to please two people, and you can't please both of them. You've got to make a decision. Sometimes this is hard. It brings about confusion. So what I'm saying tonight is, here are, in my opinion, the biggest factors that contribute to being in a cloud of confusion. No purpose in life. Letting things affect the thinking process to where we do not think clearly. Ignorance, misinformation, and halted between two opinions with a pull in different directions. Well, where is the answer? Sometimes we preachers do a better job identifying a problem than we do giving the answer. And sometimes we parents are like that too. And although there are many times that we do tell our boys and girls, you do this, and they say, why? And we say, because I said so. We really need to do a little more than that. We need to have some answers. We need to have. Where's the answer?
Where's the answer?
Three or four suggestions. How we get out of this cloud of confusion.
How we get out of this cloud of confusion.
Number one. Know and accept yourself for who you are.
For who you are.
Might refer back to a sermon that was delivered here on Sunday morning 2 or 3 weeks ago on know and remember who you are. That's so important, folks. In between Galatians 6:2 and Galatians 6:5, the two verses that say, bear one another's burdens and bear your own burdens, are the words that say, let a man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. He says there that each one of us needs to know himself, know who he is. And I understand that to mean that we need to know our abilities, and we need also to know our limitations. You see, we won't be confused about something if we know our limitations and we know our abilities. And particularly if we understand ourselves and we like ourselves. The first step, I believe, in getting out of the cloud of confusion is learn to know yourself and to accept yourself for who you are. That may mean that there'll need to be some changes, because when we look at ourselves, all of us will find some ways we can improve. Number two, know the right source to go for help. Again, let me refer back to the time that you students were registering at school. I stood and watched some of you. There was that look of confusion, and then you realized up here at this table is where I find the answer. You went up and got the answer, and that look of confusion left. Know where the answer is. In Psalm 71, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In other words, turn to God and his word for the answer. And in addition to that, remember the concept of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, particularly verse 25, that says the members of the body are to care for each other, to share with one another, to be there to help. Many times our confusion can be cleared up if we'll go to the right source. It may be the elders who are in a position to help us understand something that maybe we could not otherwise understand. It may just be a friend who maybe has had some experience in that particular area, who can share with us some observation and experience and help clear up the lack of information or the misinformation. So we need to learn to go to the right source in the second place. And that brings about a third point, and that is we need to learn to seek the answer. The same verse, folks, and young folks, listen to this especially. The same verse that says, ask and ye shall receive, which we use to talk about the great value in prayer, immediately says, seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It is easy for us to be caught up with a trend that emphasizes that asking and forgets the seeking and the knocking. Go to the right source, God, but that takes some seeking. The woman swept the room in Luke 15, and she searched diligently for that coin. Some of the answers that we need in life are not going to come to us immediately. And some of them are not going to come to us if we sit down on the side of the road and wait. God hasn't even promised to answer our prayers if we do that. Yes, there's a sense in which we wait on him and we believe in him and we have faith in him. But remember, let me say again, the same verse that says ask says seek and knock. And some of these things where there's confusion, if I go back to the incident I reported to you about when I was so confused, I spent several hours. I made several trips over to the campus asking questions. Finally, when I got an answer in the right place, immediately the entire thing cleared up. And when I accepted the fact that I had put the wrong letters on the wrong table. Now that's the bottom line of it. That's what happened. I knew what had caused the confusion, and I immediately
And I
sat down and bowed my head and said, God, switch these letters from one table to the other. No, I immediately began to do something about the answer. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. And number four, accept the reality of the situation. It may not always be exactly what we would want, but accept it. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 9, we find Samuel confused. He heard a voice. He thought it was Eli. He went to Eli and said, I did not speak to you. Went back and he heard it again. Went to Eli. Eli, you called? No, he said, I did not call you. Now, Samuel was confused. Eli gave him some advice. He said, go back, and when you hear it again, determine where it's coming from. Of course, that was the miraculous direct speaking at that time, but the principle is the same. When he heard it again, here's what Samuel said. He said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. In other words, help me clear up this situation, and whatever it is, I'm ready to accept it. Tell me what you want me to do. I'm ready to do it. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now, that's a simple little four-point plan, but I believe it will work to clear up confusion. Number one, know and accept yourself for who you are at this point. Number two, go to the right source for help. Number three, put forth the effort to seek that help and to take it in the right way. And number four, accept the answer. Accept the reality of what is involved and put all the ducks in a row, put all the factors together, and you'll have the answer, and there won't have to be confusion anymore. There's a passage in Matthew 13 that sort of sums this up. You remember where Jesus was talking about speaking to them in parables? Verse 15 says, this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. And back in verse 13, he made some unusual statements. He said, seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. Now, they were sort of confused. But he gave the answer. He said, for if they will see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand in their hearts and be converted, I'll heal them. That's just a little bit of a variation from what used to be at the railroad crossing. Stop, look, and listen. Jesus was saying, if they will look, and listen and think, they know what the truth is and they can do something about it. And that's sort of what we've been trying to say tonight. There are going to be those times that we'll be confused. Now, I'm not going to promise you that you'll never have another time of confusion. I'm pretty sure all of us will. There may even be some times this week that we'll come to a point and we'll sit there and wonder, what in the world do I need to do? What's the answer here? Torn in different directions. Some of these other problems involved. But if you and I will look with our eyes and listen with our ears and think with our minds, especially willing to accept ourselves and to go to the right source for help and to seek that help and to accept that help, I think we can accomplish exactly what happened at Mount Sinai. Eventually, Moses came down with God's guidelines represented on those two tables of stone and presented them to the people, and with those guidelines from God, cleared up the confusion. Didn't mean you'd never have any more problems. Certainly they had more problems, but he cleared up the confusion of where they were going and how they needed to get there and what ought to guide them on the way. Look, listen, and think. Most of the time, if we do that, while we're praying to God for his help and doing our part, we won't go far wrong. And we'll clear up a lot of confusion and not be in a cloud. If you've been in a cloud of confusion, I submit to you tonight that the answer is in God, the right source. Become a Christian. Live that Christian life. Dedicate yourself to him. Live for him. Do your part. He'll do his part. And the combination will be enough for you to enjoy this life as you prepare for that life that is to come. You need to be baptized into Christ or to be restored. Come as together we stand in silence.
Our place in his sanctuary. sanctified throne. Why not come to him now? Why not come to him now? What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but his way. Why not come to him now? Why not come to him now? Do you not feel, dear brother, his spirit now striving within? Oh, why not accept his salvation and throw off thy burden of sin? Why?